Let's give him a big hand. Let's encourage him. Nothing to be nervous about. We're family.
Okay, I believed and had a relationship with Jesus my entire life since I was about 4 years old. My first prayer that I remember being answered, my dad was an alcoholic. My mom was addicted to Valium. I don't hold anything against that, put them down at all. They did the best they could. But my dad, when he would go drinking, it would be about every 6 months, he'd go on a binge, him and mom would get fighting, and I would sit on the kitchen table and pray. It was a small town shop in Alberta, just this side of the Saskatchewan border, and I would pray that dad would come home. And sure, you know, some trucks would come around the corner, and sure enough, then dad would come home, and things would be sober for a while, and things would get good. We had Christmases together. I went to the Presbyterian Church Sunday school. I mean, I've talked to Elvin about, he said, one of the meetings here, I said, well, I've always believed in Jesus. And he says, oh, well, so does the devil, right? So what I meant to say is Jesus has always been in my life. I've asked him. Now, I've walked away sometimes with arrogance, not ever putting God down or anything, but I just kind of did it my way. I'm an alcoholic. I've been drank since I was 13, and, you know, he's done so much for me. It's amazing. After my first divorce, my wife had gambled away everything. Basically, I lost everything. My brother gave me this book, The Prayer of Jabez, and I would walk in Wainwright from my mom to my dad's. They got divorced after I did, and be saying that prayer 100 times a day, and adding to it what I, you know, talking to God, and he built my life back up again. I ended up I ended up running the Recycle Deep for the city of Camrose, and again, I got married to a good woman, and again, it's like I started to think I did it. You know, I stopped praying as much as I pray every day, but I just kind of got away, and I'm not going to say he put me in my place, but like Elvin teaches us at study that he'll give you all the rope you want, right? And he gave me the rope, and again, I hung myself. I'm going to be going through my second divorce. But like I say, he's done so much for me. I should have wrote this all down. I mean, it's an incredible thing that he's done for me. I went to a treatment center 2 years, two Christmases ago. About 13 of us, we were volunteering for Candy Cane Lane, and we went to the Tim Hortons, and, you know, somebody said, you know, the only thing we're missing here, Christmas, the day before Christmas, it was either Christmas Eve or the day before, a drink. And 13 of us left. Two of us made it back. Four or five died. I ended up in Golden, B.C., the sickest I've ever been from drinking. A story about, like, my dad would go on binges, right? And my mom was addicted to Valium. So I kind of told my brother, he's older than me, I said, well, I'm never going to be like them. So I decided I'm going to drink every day and never do drugs. And that's what I did every day, 15, 20 beer. And functioned in life. I was a supervisor. And I lost that over drinking and walking away from God. So anyway, I ended up having a seizure, lost memory. God's brought that back. Everything in my life, my life is coming back after this. I ended up that Christmas saying some very mean stuff to my wife, and the police got involved, and I'm pretty cocky when I'm drinking. I knew the police from back Camrose because I worked with them. I would take in people working fine options at the Recycle Depot that I ran. And this Constable LaRue called me this past, not this Christmas, the one before. And he says, Brent, we're coming for you. And my arrogance says, well, you catch me if you can. And I went on the run for over a year. I was in Pastor Stan's house at Christmas. Believe me, I'm a person that feels guilt. We're holding up candles, and I'm thinking, I don't deserve this. And I know God laid it out because Ray would walk across I wanted him to use the crosswalk. I did not want anything to do with police. I was wanted. And Ray would cheat and walk across to our Lazarus house. And the police would knock at the door sometimes, and Ryan would say, "Why do you always go to your room?" I said, "Oh, I just have to go get something." Yeah. But God laid it out like he only he could. I was arrested, and I had to deal with this stuff. And praise God, my life has changed. I also want to thank Kelly Rowe. He prayed over me. My grandfather on my dad's side was a Mason. I believe he left it. And I believe in this curse thing. I'm not a professional on the subject or anything, but Kelly prayed for me. And after that, it seemed that, you know, I got a job before I had to go to court. When I went to the remand center in your town, Red Deer, I was given weekends because I had the job, and my weekend falls Monday, Tuesday, and which worked for a job, right? I'm building my life back up, and the remand guards are like, "This is unheard of. You don't belong here." And I have to say to them, I said to them, "Hey, guys, I'm guilty. I did this, right? Like, I'm not no angel. You know, when I'm drinking, different story, right?" And for the director of the remand center to come down and escort me out, like, I've been, every time I get divorced, I go to jail. So maybe I should stay single. I don't know. But, you know, and for them to say God bless is... You don't think of prison guards and that doing that, and the nurse giving me a Bible in there. It's just, it is incredible what God has done for me. He gave me the ability to live in a very small town in the 70s, sports ability. I'll say this prayer, like I say my own prayers. I thank God for everything good, and then I say my prayer. I say, "I'm sorry, God, for all the wrong I've done," because I know that's not him, that's me. That's me walking away. Like, everything good I've done. What he's done for me, yesterday, for the first time in almost 2 years and a half, whatever, I bought a new pair of shoes. Like, that's from him, right? I'm standing in line at the Hope Mission in Edmonton with about 500 men, some children and women. And I'm looking up at the CN building, and I said, "God, I have to get out of here," because they had given up. I could see it in their faces. They had given up, and I didn't want to give up. When is my turn to give up? And that's my life. I got a bus and got to Red Deer, and I stayed over at the shelter here, and I started going to Bibles. Met Elvin and Calvin to start with, and Ray, and that was last summer, and then again, I wasn't ready, I guess. So I left, and God kept putting little subtle things, right? I wasn't raised to run from the law. I grew up in a town of 300 people to respect the police. Catch me if you can. I mean, come on, that's that's not really me. And anyway, God brought me back here. And, you know, we're missing a couple guys at the house. I want to pray for them. I want to pray for my friend Kelly that I just met. We're both from the 1980s and, well, grew up then. And my story is very similar to his, and it'll get better here. If AA is a tool, that's a tool. But this is, I've been to treatment. This is it. And, you know, when I grew up in Chauvin, Alberta, the Catholics would show up to their church. And, and the suit and tie stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I just didn't feel, when Elvin said, "Well, you have to go to church," when I got to this town, it's like, I don't have a suit. I haven't worn a suit since the 70s. And it's just so welcoming here. Like, I don't know if Red Deer will be my, if it'll be the, where I retire. I mean, another thing God has done, I had a great girlfriend my drinking took away from as well, and she's back in my life talking. I mean, we were together 10 years. My drinking took that away as well. My drinking has taken everything away. I mean, that's bottom line. I can compare that I don't drink whiskey. It's just beer, or I don't do drugs, and as soon as I start comparing, well, then I'm in trouble. Like, I'm an alcoholic, and And Jesus forgives me for that, right? That's the main thing. And he'll forgive anybody if you ask him, but you have to, I don't know, I've heard fake it till you make it, but I believe that in the 1970s, in a town of 300 people, it was, I'm just blessed that that's when I grew up, because nowadays it's different. My generation, they don't tell the kids to go to Sunday school as much, and so I'm blessed that I had the parents I did and the town I did. I'm blessed that I'm sober. He's building my life. Like, Jesus and God are just incredible. And they put guys like Pastor Stan, Pastor Alvin, Kelly Rowe, other Christians in my life. Every time I'm down and out, I just seem to be fortunate enough to have these kind of people to come and give me support. And, you know, it's just amazing, right? And so if you're going through stuff like we all do, I mean, you can never say, well, there is no God. I mean, yeah, there's people, they say this evolution stuff, right? And I've never believed in it. And I am cocky. And some guys have said to me, well, I was a science teacher in school, and he said, started teaching evolution. We all kind of grew up, walked out of the ocean and had tail, whatever, fins and stuff. And I said to him, he got mad. I said, well, maybe your family did, but mine didn't. He wasn't too happy about that. But anyway, yeah, where's my boss here? He's not, oh, there he is. I don't know how I'm doing on time here, but that's basically my story. Jesus Christ has saved my life. That's the bottom line. And I thank all of you here for welcoming someone like me. Like, I'm not from Red Deer. I'm a stranger, but y'all, like, I feel welcome when I come here. It's one of the highlights of my week. The last time I was in church, back home, it was a buddy's mom's funeral, and it was a Catholic church. And I went with his cousin, and you know, it's a Catholic church in Provost. I mean, I did all the work. I was a painter by trade then. And I said, well, you guys are really styling. They had these things that came down on the back of the chairs, and I thought it was a footrest. I'm not a Catholic. And he elbows me, and he goes, oh, that's for kneeling on. And but that's a little joke there. Okay. I think I'm good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was awesome. He said, did I do okay? Amen. Let's pray for Brent. Thank you, God. I thank you for this brother. I thank you for the good grip you have on his heart. He loves you and that he's growing in you, and for a message of hope that we hear today. And I know there's some of us here today that need to be reminded of that. I just pray for our brother that you will complete the good work that you've begun. And that you're going to just continue to set him completely free. I thank you, God, for the clear repentance. Just like Marg was talking about as we worshiped, there's repentance, there's humility in this man. And we see it, and I know that that pleases you, and that when we repent and we confess our sins, you are faithful and just, and you cleanse us and you forgive us from all of our sins and all of our unrighteousness. So thank you for Brent, and I pray for your blessing on him and all the guys in Lazarus' house too. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you. That's good.